Okay, welcome back. That's the course website. You should have gotten an email with a link to dkmj.org/something, which can take you to this website even when you're off campus. If you do not get that, you should talk to me and make sure you get it. You can see the kind of content that I'm putting out there.
Yes,
and I should get to... After each class day, though, hopefully within 24 hours, there should be, you know, new content, new collection of board photos, new lecture audio. If there's ever anything wrong with the website, like a link doesn't work or a file is corrupted or whatever, please let me know. You know, just send me an email so I know there's a problem and I can fix it as soon as possible. Okay. Are there any questions that you want to ask me now? Okay. Well, I've already assigned half of the first batch of homework. Days 1 and 2 were assigned last week, so hopefully you've just taken a glance at it, got an idea of how easy or hard it was. If it's hard, you know, seeing where you get stuck might give you an idea of where you should ask me a question. First thing I want to do here, just review this triangle addition stuff. Easy to get backwards. Okay, so here, what's the relationship between A, B, and P?
A equals A plus B.
Yeah, that's just the way we define vector addition. Okay? Now for this one, you may get a little mixed up. The way to avoid getting mixed up is to try and make it a vector addition first. If it's not obvious to you whether this is A minus B or B minus A, do it in terms of addition first. Okay? B plus Q, right? If you follow B, then you follow Q. That's the same as following A, is A. Now you can solve that equation for Q. Addition and subtraction, multiplication by constants work the same with vectors as they do with numbers. Q is A minus B. What is R? What's this vector? I heard A plus R equals B, right? Yeah. If we go in order, it's R plus A equals B. Same thing as A plus R, right? Solve for R. That one's B minus A. What about this one? What's S?
S plus A equals B.
Yeah, I heard it's A plus S equals B. And look, arrow S matches arrow R, at least approximately, because my drawings are approximate. Right, so they are indeed the same vector. Right, same magnitude, same length. Same direction, at least within the error of my crude drawing. Right? And it looks like it's pointing the opposite direction as Q, which is A minus B. So you can see that T here is the same as Q as well. Yeah. So that should be another A minus B. You can check that again. Right? T plus B equals A. Solve for T. You just follow the arrows. Last one's a little different. What's the addition equation here?
A plus B.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's a loop. If you follow these arrows, no matter where you start, you can follow all three arrows to get back where you started.
So the addition equation is A plus B plus U equals 0, the 0 vector, right? If I start at the bottom, go A, B, U, I'm back where I started. So U is the opposite of A plus B, right? Remember, P over here is A plus B, and it points up. This one points down. Still from section 3 of chapter 12. We haven't finished the dot product section yet because there's these ideas. Yes, here. Some more stuff that has some very simple geometric meaning, and then you have to know how to compute it with the dot product. So there, you can summarize it as projection. We've already seen this in a simple form. Okay. So let's see here. So if I have a vector here, right? Vector C, right? It has a horizontal part and a vertical part, right? Maybe C is 2, 1, right? So it's just two-dimensional. 2i plus a j, right? This is the horizontal part of C, and this is the vertical part of C. You could also say, isn't it kind of redundant to say 2i is the horizontal part because we already know I points in the horizontal direction? So you would just want to say, oh, 2 is the horizontal. Of course, there's that subtle distinction. But in terms of the language, if you want to, this is what we say. This is the official language that the book uses. It's pretty standard throughout mathematics. So 2i is the horizontal projection. Good. Let's see?
Like the x-axis from left to right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 2 is the horizontal component. Let's see. Okay. And we could do an example where the numbers were negative also, right? So for example, if you were considered negative C, right, which points in the opposite direction, right, then you'd have negative 2i is the horizontal projection. Of negative C. And you do the same thing with components. Now, there is kind of a choice here. I mean, are we going to say the components are just the magnitude of the horizontal part, or are we going to keep track of the direction, right? To the right or to the left? We're going to keep track of the direction. So the negative 2, we're going to keep that minus sign there. That would be the horizontal component.
What was the difference between the component and the projection?
Component is a number. Projection is a vector. Right? See the... I mean, this... You know, it doesn't seem like an important difference yet. But we're going to generalize these concepts to make projections in arbitrary directions, and so it'll matter more.
put in a request to get this thing fixed so it can move, but they haven't done it yet. So we'll move this one up. Concept for direction beyond just this informal stuff like horizontal direction, vertical direction. So we're just going to say that if we need to do some actual computations with direction, a direction is just going to be a vector with magnitude 1. And now for any vector, there's a natural thing to do. We say that the direction of a vector, as long as it's not zero, so vector u not equal to the zero vector, so it has a positive magnitude. We just take u, and then we have to multiply it by its reciprocal magnitude to make its magnitude 1. And people often just abbreviate this like this. I mean, one thing to note here, right, is that if you look at the magnitudes, remember scalar multiples, what do? If you have a scalar multiple, the effect on the magnitude is just to multiply the old magnitude by the absolute value of the scalar. So the magnitude of this thing would be this. And, okay, absolute value of the reciprocal of a magnitude. A magnitude is never negative, by the way we defined it, so you don't need the absolute value bars there, right? They don't change what this is. So, yes, it does come out to be 1. So for any vector, we have this concept of what direction it points. And now, let's say I have some vector A, not the same A as before, and some other vector, a little longer, B. And what I want now is the part of B that points in the same direction as A. Okay? How can I figure that?
So we need to make a right angle. Hopefully make a right angle here. The problem is my arrows aren't quite straight lines.
Make a right angle. Imagine extending any further until you can go drop a perpendicular from the tip of B here. And we want to say that this arrow, the part that goes in the same direction as A, until it reaches this point where the perpendicular hits, we want to call this the projection of B along A. This is kind of the A part of B. And then there's this leftover stuff, okay? Now, if you think about this in terms of the triangle addition, right? This thing, the projection, plus that thing is supposed to equal B. So that means this thing has got to be B minus B. projection. This also has a special name. It's called the orthogonal projection. You think of it as the part of B perpendicular to A. So for any vector B and another vector A, you can break up B into two parts, the part that's parallel to A and the part that is perpendicular to A. Now, in this picture here, there's an acute angle between A and B. But let's draw a picture where it's the other way. Say we have... D and C, right? Okay. How's it going to work this time? Well, this time we want to say that, okay, C is pointing to the right, but the horizontal part of D in this picture is pointing to the left. So we want to say that now this, dropping a perpendicular to C from the tip of the... the tip of D, right? This should be the projection of D along C. And then we still have this vertical part there. That's still going to be our orthogonal projection of D along C, and that's still going to be D minus this projection, because it's still the same kind of triangle as over there. Right? For this projection plus this orthogonal projection equals D. So the orthogonal projection must be D minus that projection.
Did you say there was the magnitude is never negative because the absolute values, is that a constant rule or is that just kind of like...
It's the way we define magnitude. It's the length of the arrow. Lengths are never negative. And in the algebraic definition, you know, it's given by a Pythagorean theorem thing, you know, square root of sum of the squared components, right? For like C here, you take 2 squared plus 1 squared, that's 5. Right? 4 plus 1 is 5, so C has magnitude square root of 5. It's the way it's defined, so it's never going to be a negative thing. Other questions?
Can you explain again real quick how is that ortho, the projection of ortho D into C is equal to D minus the projection of D onto C?
If we're going to call this arrow the orthogonal projection, right, and follow this, right, make another triangle here, right? So you have the projection arrow, where you're projecting along C, and then you have this other arrow that goes up. Okay, and that's the orthogonal one. Okay? And then we have the original vector that we were projecting, D. Okay, so projection along C plus orthogonal projection along C is D, okay? So you can think of it as the logic runs from...
And you just solve for the other...
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have enough practice with these vector triangles, you can start to see when it's A minus B or B minus A directly, or C minus D or D minus A, that kind of stuff. You can see it directly without drawing, without first writing an addition equation. Even I still goof that up sometimes, so you want to be safe and write as an addition equation and then solve. Okay. Now, this stuff is... these are definitions. I haven't told you how you'd actually compute one of these in terms of component points yet. Also, there's I haven't given you the analog of this concept here, the component, so it's time for that. Okay. So, to make things a little bit less painful, I like to use another symbol. So right here, this direction thing, I'm going to abbreviate it sometimes as just with a hat, okay? A pointy hat. This is a common thing that's done, all right? So whenever you have a vector of magnitude 1, put a hat over it, or when you want to make something magnitude 1, you put a hat over it to indicate, divide out by the magnitude to make it a magnitude 1. So think of this vector A here. You imagine it has maybe, I don't know, magnitude 4 or whatever. So let's say this is magnitude 1. We'll fix the scale there. So that length is length 1. Okay. And now you can have the analog of horizontal components. Okay. Now you can say that the component, should be positive in this picture. We want to think of it as, you know, it's a positive multiple of the direction of A. Okay. So the projection here should be a scalar multiple, which we're going to call the component of the A component of B, or the component of B along A. So this will just be a number times A hat. Okay. And what is this? What is this one? Another way of saying, yeah, it's a scalar. Yeah. Okay, do a little bit of trig here. I've got a right triangle, okay? This is part of the big right triangle. It's a leg. Let's call theta the angle between A and B. Right? So you can say what this is. You can say that it is going to be, take the hypotenuse, multiply it by the cosine of theta. Let's see what that is. So the hypotenuse is just magnitude B. And then the cosine of that angle will be what you need to multiply the hypotenuse by to get this leg of the big right triangle. There's a big right triangle again. You can do a similar thing over here. I call this angle P, say. The issue is that the projection points the opposite way as C. Mm-hmm. If we have a little unit vector C there, right, it's pointing the opposite way as the projection. So the component, we're going to want the component to be a negative number. Now,
here you have 180 degrees minus phi, or just pi minus phi in radians. Okay. So this right here, so how long should this be? Again, it's a cosine, they'll tell us. Like over here, it's going to be... The issue is that, so it's going to be a negative number. It's going to be the negative of magnitude of d times the cosine of 180 degrees, or just pi, if you like it in terms of radians, minus phi. Okay. Now, you might remember a trig identity that with supplementary angles, right? If you switch from phi to 180 degrees minus phi, that changes the sign of the cosine. Right? So this is actually the negative of the cosine of phi. So this is actually just going to be d times the cosine of phi. So actually, if you use the correct angle between the vectors, right, where the arrows start at the same place, and you look at that angle, and whether the angle is acute or obtuse, we get the same formula. Is cosine theta. So you solve for the adjacent one. The adjacent one is the hypotenuse times the cosine. Projection points the opposite of the direction of C, so it has to be a negative multiple of C hat there. It has to be, because they're opposite directions. Okay. So that's why this component here has to be a negative, right? I mean, this stuff here without the negative sign, that would give you the length of this arrow. But if you didn't put a negative sign in front, you'd have the arrow pointing the wrong way, because you'd be multiplying it by c hat, which points to the right. So you gotta put the negative number in there to fix it. The beauty of this, though, is that if you just use the cosine automatically takes care of the sine problem, right? After I did this little trickery, there's no negative sign, okay? Right? Because with a cosine, if you're like in this picture, with the angle between 0 and 90 degrees, the cosine is positive. If you're in this picture, where the angle's between 90 and 180 degrees, the cosine is negative. So you can use one formula and automatically takes care of whether it's supposed to be positive or negative. So I start with kind of, you know, some reasonable geometric motivations, and we get some results. So let's summarize the results here. Okay?
And then we'll then we can put it into an example.
Okay? So the component of a, say, I use different letters this time, a vector v along vector u, the u component of v, is a number and is given by this magnitude. The magnitude of, in this case, it's going to be v times the cosine of the angle between them. I'll use alpha, let's say. Right? And remember, you have to draw the vectors starting from the same point, right, to get the right angle there. Right, so the summary, you know, it's not in the same order, because trying to motivate a definition is not the same as summarizing what definition you motivated. All right, so two, the projection of V along U which you might also call, you know, just the U projection of V. Number of ways to say it. Is equal to this component, right, which is a number, as you can see from that formula. And so this number times the direction of u. And remember that u hat just means take u and, if necessary, divide by its magnitude in order to have something that's a direction, just length one. Okay. Just like you can write, you know, like I arrow, you could write it as I hat now if you want to, because it already has magnitude one. You can write J arrow as J hat, because by definition it has a magnitude of 1. And then finally we had this thing. Which in words you call perhaps the orthogonal projection of V. Right, so think of this as the part of V perpendicular to U. This is the part of V that's parallel to U, and so you want this part to be this part, the parallel part plus the perpendicular part adds up to the original V. So solve that addition problem like we did down there, and like down here. I guess I didn't write it there. But like I did here. Solving that addition problem, you're going to have V minus the U projection. Okay.
Sir?
Yes.
For example, the orthogonal of V over U, can we also say it would be the projection of U onto U?
In number three over here?
Yeah.
No, because you're not. I mean,
like if you're projecting V onto U.
Yeah.
Just lift up the vectors, and it could be called the same.
No, they're different.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you asking, like, is the projection of B along U the same as the projection of U along B?
No. For example, on number 2,
yeah.
The projection of B onto U is because B is coming down on U, right? It's projecting down.
Well, let me draw a picture.
All right. You can use the monitor to try and find
it. Okay. All right. Here's a U, and here's some V, okay? And I need to make room here. So you think of, you extend V to an infinite line in both directions, okay? Then you make this perpendicular right through it's supposed to be perpendicular. Perfect. Right through the tip of V, right? Okay? And so now you want to have, you break up V, think of this arrow, right? To get from here to here, first you go in the opposite direction of U. So in this particular picture, that would be the projection of V along U. And then to get to rest of the ray to V, you need the perpendicular part. That would be the orthogonal projection of V along U. Okay?
The projection of V onto U and the one on the bottom.
Yeah.
If you flip the vectors, if you put a projection of U onto V, it is not the same as the ortho of V onto U?
No, it's not. Let me get another color. I think we can draw it. All right, so let's say you're interested in projecting U onto V. Let's see what we get. So to project U onto V, you would extend V.
In this case, I don't think it's possible because the angle of between the vectors is obtuse. It's greater than 90 degrees.
No, it still makes sense. So now you have this line, yes?
Mm-hmm.
This line is supposed to be along B in blue. There it is. Okay. Now, what we need to do is drop a perpendicular from the tip of U onto that line that goes through V. Okay? And so now in this picture, right there, that arrow, going this way, right there, that is the projection of V onto U. And then going up here, this is the orthogonal projection.
Did I say that backwards? I think it's backwards.
Yeah, I said backwards. Okay. This is the projection of U onto V. In blue is U onto V. And then here's the orthogonal of the part of U that's perpendicular to V. Okay. The projection onto U it's always going to point either in the same direction as U or in the opposite direction as U. So these vectors point in opposite directions. Maybe I haven't drawn them the best, but any projection onto V will either point in the same direction as V or the opposite direction as V. So yeah, so they're not the same.
Other questions?
Would it make sense if I put the projection vector instead of going this way, the other way, over through F? No. Because you said it doesn't really matter if it goes opposite or equal to the direction of the vector of U.
No, I mean, it matters. I mean, when you're projecting, like, onto I, right, I points to the right, right? So if your vector has a left part, right, if it's going up and to the left, then the projection should be pointing to the left.
Okay.
Because the horizontal part points to the left, not to the right. So the direction matters. Because you always want your projection and your orthogonal projection to add back up to the vector you're projecting from, right? So projection of U onto V and orthogonal projection of U onto V, these two do indeed need, they need to add up back to U. So if you have the directions pointing in the wrong way, they won't add up back to U. It's a generalization of how you can break up a vector into its horizontal part and its vertical part. But now with respect to any direction. It's just the same thing here, right? Projection of V onto U plus orthogonal projection of V onto U adds up to V. Move this over a little bit. Diagram's getting crowded.
Can you show us one with that where the angle is less than 90?
Sure. we have that one. Let's make another one. I want to put some numbers on it though, before I run out of time, let me do an example where it's an acute angle and where there's some actual numbers. Because I want to show you that you can actually compute these things. Okay. All right. Different legs. How about S? We can even make it 3D. Okay. And then T up here will be, say it's 1, 2. Okay. So I can call this beta, the angle between them. The component of, let's say I want to project T onto S. Okay. So there's my perpendicular drop from the tip of T. Okay. So we have a projection of T onto S. And that's something like this. Still doesn't look quite right. There we go. Okay. And then right here, this other arrow, that's the orthogonal S projection of T. Okay? So we break up this arrow T over here into a part that's parallel to S and part that's perpendicular to S. And let's see here. So start by figuring out the component. The component, the S component of T. Okay? And in this case, it'll be a positive number because it's an acute angle. Let's see what we get. So we want the magnitude of T times the cosine of the angle beta. Now at this point, you need to remember what we did last time. How do you figure out the cosine of that angle, right? What did we talk about last time? Start with a D dot product?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to need to know something. And so if we take the dot product of S and T, and we divide it by the magnitudes, that's the cosine of that angle. Okay? And so you'll see that if we multiply by magnitude t, there's going to be a cancellation. Okay, so the component, the s component of t, is just going to be s dot t over the magnitude of s after you do the little cancellation. Right. So let's do the dot product. 3 times 1 is 3. 1 times 2 is 2. 1 times 1 is 1. So 3 plus 2 plus 1. That's going to be 6. And then, of course, s has magnitude 3 squared plus 1 squared plus 1 squared. So 6 over the square root of 11. Okay. So since so this is a positive component, so the length of this arrow is 6 over square root of 11, according to the arbitrary scale here. By comparison, the magnitude of S is square root 11, which is 11 over the square root of 11, so about twice as big. And that roughly matches our picture. This black arrow for S is about is roughly twice as long as that red arrow. Okay? So my drawing isn't totally fictitious. Of the projection. Okay. So now we need to multiply the component by the direction of s. So that would be where we shrunk s down to have length 1. Okay. So we have the component, which is a number, times the direction of s. So this will be the actual arrow here, not just plus or minus its length. Okay. So since I made these 3D vectors, this is actually going to come out to be a list of 3 numbers, right, in usual representation. So let's see what we got. There's probably going to be a shortcut here, so let's look at this. We have s dot t over magnitude s for that number. And then here we have s over magnitude s for that vector. Okay. Well, okay, not a huge savings, but a moderate thing here. Those will get squared, so. You could actually just write it as s dot s if you like.
Okay.
All right, that's a little crowded.
Just wondering, right there in the square root, should it be 2 squared?
The second one.
The second one, the 3 squared plus?
On the bottom.
Well, it's
okay. Zero, right, on in red. Keep going right there.
Oh, is that S?
Yes, it's S. Oh, okay. Right, because it's... Remember, we have the magnitude of T times the cosine, but the cosine formula here cancels out the magnitude of T, so it's magnitude of S, which is 3 squared, 1 squared, and 1 squared. Yeah, so there's no 2. The 3, 2, 1 was, from this business here. 3... 2, and 1. And, okay, so what do we got? So we did the dot product, that's 6. The squared magnitude would be 11. So you get this, okay? So 6 elevenths of S. That's the part of T that is parallel to S, right? Okay? And we can actually write it in components now, right? It's going to be... there's a number of ways you could write it. I mean, it's not a super savings, If you want, you can distribute it through. Right? So, but I mean, writing it like this is fine. But if you really want to write it component by component, but you need the x component or whatever, you know, you can do it. Right? 18 elevenths, 6 elevenths, and 6 elevenths, right? Okay. And then 3. What about the part that's perpendicular?
Okay. Sure, what happened to the square root of 11?
It's getting squared, right? Square root of 11, another square root of 11, just 11. Because remember, if you take the dot product with its the vector of itself, that is the squared magnitude, right? Three times three plus one times one plus one plus one. Last part. T minus the project the S projection to get the leftover part, this arrow. Okay? So we're going to have 1, 2, 1 minus this thing. Okay. So what's that going to be? Do some fraction arithmetic here, right? Negative 7 elevenths, and then 14 elevenths? Yeah, because 22 elevenths means 16 elevenths. There we go. That's how you do an actual one. Remember what's a vector and what's a scalar, you know, then you can be a little sloppy with the arrows. It's good discipline to keep the arrows so that you remember this is a vector, not a number. You know, some people would go a little further. They would put arrows over the projection and orthogonal projection symbols to indicate that those are vectors even, right? You could do that. Thursday. So that's it. I'm going to let you go. 5 minutes time.